I do believe it's time for The Thrilling Miss Trilling on ABC Radio Perth.
Jo Trilling, hello to you.
Hi, Jeff.
I've got a couple of questions for you. Do you notice in our office any sort of overuse of perfume? Rather too strong flavours?
Not perfume, but there is a certain person who likes the odd boiled egg.
Oh, see, I'd probably, yeah, that's not good for me either. If you had tuna and boiled egg?
She tends to apologise. And right now you're eating a banana, and it's quite a smelly banana.
Yeah. Wow. This is called real life, and it's happening on the radio. One of our listeners, Annalise, said that when she was pregnant, normal smells seemed very overwhelming. Do you remember that?
I do. I remember it mainly from food. There were a few things that I would, I think cooking chicken sometimes, the waft of perfectly fresh chicken just was too much.
Too much.
On certain days, yeah.
Okay, let's turn to that which you are particularly expert in, and that is the wonderful world of art and music and theatre. What should we be excited about?
There are two things I'm excited about this week. Well, three really, but we'll talk about two of them. On Wednesday evening, I'm heading to the Perth Concert Hall, and I'm curious if you like classical music, because I think a lot of people are put off by the stuffiness of a concert hall. Perhaps they don't feel that comfortable there. They don't know when to clap. Should you clap? Shouldn't you clap?
Never clap early. That's the only advice. Never clap early.
Well, Richard Tognetti, the artistic director of the Australian Chamber Orchestra, informed me that back in the time of classical or baroque music, you could clap any time. Nobody cared. This stuffiness is all new and modern.
Lovely flute playing. Really nice flute playing.
Some people get really, really worked up about this stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Wednesday evening at the concert hall, the Australian Chamber Orchestra has a show coming up, and it's all about artists that you wouldn't necessarily know for their classical repertoire. People like Johnny Greenwood, he is the lead guitarist of Radiohead, but for the past 15 years, he has been spending a lot of time composing music for film, like the soundtrack from There Will Be Blood.
I think that's beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't seen There Will Be Blood with Daniel Day-Lewis, it is a spectacular, dangerous big film.
He'll stop at nothing to make his fortune.
Oh, that's a film.
And Johnny Greenwood isn't alone. Musicians like Sufjan Stevens and Bryce Dessner from The National, the American outfit, I do love their music, are really well-known indie musicians who are making waves in the world of contemporary classical music. The three of them are all really inspired by three Polish composers. Should I try and pronounce their names?
Oh, you should.
Here we go. Szymanowski, Lutosławski, and Penderecki. Forgive me if I've got them completely wrong.
Not bad.
And so Richard Tognetti has placed the indie musicians' music alongside works of their classical heroes. And it really should make an interesting conversation or an interesting concert, I should say. I spoke to Richard earlier about that crossover between musical genres, including how Paul McCartney apparently hasn't got the chops to write classical music, and about how there needs to be a new name for classical music.
The point, the DNA lies in the inspiration. The composers who've inspired Bryce Dessner from The National and Johnny Greenwood from Radiohead to become, let's call them, one of the much better term, you know, fine art composers, film scorers, writing, orchestral composers. And the composers who've inspired them just happen to be drawn from the same part of the world, which is Poland, avant-garde modernism. I know it sounds scary, but we'll get to that in a second. And so the result is some of the best new works to be written for orchestras in the past few years. Johnny Greenwood's There Will Be Blood score comes from a piece that he wrote called Superhet Popcorn Receiver. And Bryce Dessner is now, you know, sought as a composer all over the world. They're spectacularly unique and original voices. And the proof of the pudding is in the eating in the concert hall. They sit up against their inspirations. Now, if I say the names Lutosławski, Szymanowski, and Penderecki, they're not the most well-known, or they certainly don't roll off the tongue with the pronunciation, but they're not the best-known names. However, if you look at Penderecki, his music is much better known to the ear than you'd imagine. Anyone who has sat through The Exorcist, Shining, Shutter Island, then you know the music of Penderecki really well. His music is the go-to music for horror films and thrillers. We play quite a bit of film music from time to time. You know, the Psycho Suite, which is some of the best string writing. And Johnny's music sits up there with the best of composers who can write films and for orchestras. And it works in the concert hall. Well, I like to think it works.
Is this crossover between musical genres becoming more common?
Look, I call it a coming-of-age story. So Paul McCartney, the great, you know, genius singer-songwriter, he has tried to pen some so-called classical orchestral works, but because he didn't have the chops, you know, the technical know-how, there are some shortcomings. The thing about Johnny Greenwood and Bryce Dessner is that they learn how to read and write, and so they actually do it all themselves. And I would argue that you just can't pen a novel unless you can read and write. And sometimes it is liberating not to, you know, read and write music and just to be able to compose a song and sing it. But if you're going to add complexity and texture, such as you find in Radiohead songs, that all comes from Johnny Greenwood, and he knows where an A sits on a treble clef.
So writing classical music doesn't necessarily take more skill than writing a pop song, but it's a different right. set of skills.
Exactly. I should say on a stave. Yeah, exactly. It's a totally different set of skills.
How problematic is the term classical music when you're talking to different audiences? Do people immediately think of the 18th century?
But even the 18th century is Baroque music. It's shorthand for, you know, what we understand, I suppose, is concert music, where you shut up and be still and listen. But it transcends that. Yeah, I'd love, please come up with an alternative. I'll happily embrace it. I did think shut up and listen music, but then, you know, that's a lot of jazz. And if you attend a Radiohead concert, you know, you're pretty quiet, just listening, transfixed to the sounds of that. As musicians make. I find it incredibly problematic. Help me.
and we've got to then teach everybody when the appropriate time to clap is.
No, totally. I don't care at all. I look, if you feel like clapping at any time, clap. And, you know, during Mozart's time, strictly speaking, the classical era, you clapped whenever you wanted to. And you also talked whenever you wanted to.
Johnny Greenwood says of classical music, it's like a firework display, months of preparation and all over in 15 minutes. Do you agree?
Well, and any performance is like that. Just as you feel that, to quote Charlie Chaplin, just when you got it right, it's all over.
Richard, you're known for your bold experimental programming, for tackling different genres.
Well, I'm forced to be original because a chamber orchestra doesn't have a lot of native repertoire, so we're forced to find new repertoire. And I'm excited, you know, to invite the likes of Michael Lunig onto a musical stage and see what happens. I love working with filmmakers and marrying the visual and sound, and that's what we're doing with our next project after this Indies and Idols one that is called Luminous with Bill Henson. We made a film called The Reef, which was filmed up in Ningaloo at Nalu Station, and one of the highlights of our lives making that was incredible.